We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, it's the same today, yesterday and forevermore. And the reason why that scripture is so appropriate, and if you guys could turn the lights up just a little bit up here, just a little bit, if you could turn them up, you can turn them all the way up, it's good. I want to be able to see our beautiful faces here this morning. The reason why this scripture is so appropriate, and the reason why we declare this truth, it's because we live in this kind of fragile world, this broken world, and things are always changing. Things are always moving. Things are always happening. And so in the midst of things constantly changing, you and I have to be able to put our faith and trust in something that will never change. And so this scripture right here gives us hope that no matter us living in a very changing world, and in the midst of living in a changing society where people change. How many of you guys know people are changing up on you at the drop of a hat? Where people change and jobs change and climate changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if there's one thing I want you guys to get in this message more than anything else, I want you to get it in your heart. That no matter all the things that are around me right now that are so uncertain, no matter all the things that are so unstable right now in my life, Jesus is the one who will never change. And that was what we're going to talk about today as we kick off this brand new series that we are calling King of Kings. And I think we even got a cool graphic that we're going to put up on the screen so that way you guys can kind of really see it. King of Kings. We put it on our website. We put it on our social media. If you're not following us on social media, you guys can go do so. The Bridge Church VA on Facebook and on Instagram, on Twitter. It's just The Bridge VA, but we've plastered this everywhere because we want you to get this in your heart. We want you to know that no matter what it is that you're experiencing, no matter what it is that you're up against, that Jesus is still King of Kings. And that's what we're going to be talking about for these next 2 to 3 weeks. No matter what it is that you're up against, man, that Jesus is still faithful, that Jesus is still good. But right before we get into the message this morning, I know we bless God for our worship team, but guys, can you help me bless God for all of our amazing people who serve on a week in and week out basis in our church? Thank you, guys. They're serving in kids and making great coffee and out there greeting you when you walk through the doors and leading small groups and serving and doing great things like serving on Thanksgiving Day, serving meals in our community, and I would encourage you guys to come be a part of that. You guys can go online, sign up online on our website, thebridgechurchva.com/Thanksgiving, and you can also sign up after service is done. But they serve and just do amazing things. Our church would not be what it is without the amazing sacrifice and efforts of our church family. So we bless God for all of those who are serving. So part one of this new series, King of Kings. Now you may be asking the question, why is the name of this series called King of Kings, and where do we get this title from? Why did you decide to go in this direction? You know, why not president of presidents? And why not, you know, leader of leaders and governor of governors? Why not? Why not best of the best? And the reason why we decided to go with the name of this series, King of Kings, is because it actually speaks to a name and a description in the Bible that is used to describe God the Father, also Jesus Christ. And it comes out of Revelation 17:14. It's actually mentioned a few times in Scripture, but one of the places that it's mentioned is in Revelation 17:14, where it says, they will wage war against the Lamb. But the Lamb, that's Jesus. He's oftentimes called many things in Scripture, and the Lamb of God was one of the names that he was called. The Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. So all throughout Scripture, you see these different names that Jesus is referred to as. But one of the most important names, I think, in all of Scripture that we can call Jesus, in addition to outside of the most important, which is our Lord and our Savior, is acknowledging him as the King of Kings. Because here's what this means. It means that, yes, there's other authorities, and yes, there's other rulers, and yes, there's other people who are in leadership positions. But the one who, no pun intended, trumps them all is Jesus, the King of Kings. So the reason why this is important is because no matter who you voted for this week in election, maybe you voted for Trump, maybe you voted for Hillary, maybe you voted for a third-party candidate, maybe you just wrote in somebody, maybe you didn't even vote at all. The one thing that you got to understand is that Jesus is the King and is the overseer of all of these rulers, which means it doesn't matter who gets elected in office. He is still sovereignly ruling and reigning over all. He is King of Kings. And that's what that title that's been attributed to him in Scripture actually means. It means that the buck stops with him, that he is at the top of the food chain, that nobody supersedes Jesus. And so obviously this week we've seen the election of a new president. And obviously it's been one of the more controversial elections probably in American history, at least in recent memory, in recent history, where you had polarizing candidates and you had at the same time a country that was just reeling back with so many different tragedies and different type of events that have been happening that been causing so much division, or rather just exposing the division that's already been there. And so on Tuesday, it culminated with this big election, and Tuesday was kind of a day that was filled with mixed emotions for many people. Many people responded in different ways. Some were angry, some were frustrated, some were confused, some were filled with hate and filled with unrest and sadness. Some of you guys were just relieved that it was over. Like, thank God it's over, right? Like some people were filled with joy. Some people were filled with excitement. But the thing that I found to be so common amongst the majority of people that I've talked to is many people are filled with uncertainty. Uncertainty as it relates to what's going to happen. What does our future look like? And I found that, you know, even if for you the election didn't conjure up any of those emotions, maybe for you, you were just kind of like hands off and you're like, you know, it is what it is. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And for you, you've kind of maybe been kind of just really casual, really nonchalant about it. But for you, it may be other areas in your life where there's some uncertainty. Your relationships, your health. Maybe you got a report this week from the doctor and it wasn't too good. The prognosis wasn't good at all. Or maybe your spouse all of a sudden said they wanted a divorce, filled with uncertainty. Maybe your kids are all of a sudden starting to rebel and reel against you. Uncertainty, or filled with anger, confusion. And so many of us, all of us have been at a point in time, whether we're there right now or not, where we've been at this place where we've been confused and asking God, what's going to happen? Uncertain. Because we see all these things that are happening around us, all these things that are changing around us. But the good news is this, and I'm going to articulate this and say this every week for the next 3 weeks so that way you get it in your spirit, that it doesn't matter what's changing around you. The only thing that matters is who's for you, and he's not changing, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And that at the end of the day, the place where you need to look the most and the place and the person where you need to put your most trust in and your most faith in, it's not in who's in the office. It's not in your employer. It's not in how much money you're bringing home at the end of the week. No, it's in the unchanging one. It's in the one who is, who was, and is to come, as Scripture will say. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to understand. I'll say it like this, that Jesus was king before the election. Jesus was also king during the election. And Jesus is still king after the election. I don't know if you guys remember, about 17 years ago, 1999, right before the year 2000 came and right before we entered into a new century, there was all this craze and all this fear and all this concern about Y2K. Now, I don't know if you guys kind of remember that. But I mean, people were just going crazy. People were stocking up on food, and you know, I was a little bit younger back then, but I kind of remember it vividly. People were getting food, and people were just going crazy, like, oh my gosh, the world is going to shut down, and computers aren't going to work anymore. How many of you guys, like, got caught up with that? Like, just be honest. How many of you guys got caught up? Just be real. Confession is good for the soul. Nothing wrong with that, right? Like, just got caught up, and like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? And here we are 16 years later. Now, I'm not saying that to be insensitive and to suggest that there's never uncertainty, but what I'm saying is that though there may be uncertainty, when I put my faith and trust in the one who is certain, it allows me to be able to look at my uncertainties through the right perspective. It allows me to be able to put things that are uncertain in this world in their rightful place, which means I'm not going to be controlled by what's uncertain in life. No, I'm going to be dictated and governed by the truth of God, which never changes. And where we are right now as a country is the same place. It just looks different. Same place. So much uncertainty. So the question now is, so in the midst of all the things that are changing, how do I deal with this? How do I cope with this? And as we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, I think the writer gives us some comfort. And this will be the scripture that we really kind of land on and we use as a base for this entire series. When the writer says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, it's speaking to what is called or attributed to Jesus as his immutability, which means he never changes. He is, as some would say, the unmoved mover. That though things are moving around us, he is the one who never moves, but yet he's moving everything. Which means he is in control. This verse, this scripture, speaks so much to the totality of who Jesus is, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the reason why this was so important is because the writer of Hebrews, he's writing to believers of churches who were made up of mostly Jews for the most part. And so they had immediate recollection of what God did for them back in the Old Testament and how God delivered the children of Israel from Pharaoh's army and from Pharaoh's domain and from Pharaoh's ruler. And they said, and so the writer's trying to help them understand, hey, God the Father, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, he was faithful to you back then. He delivered you through then. And he's faithful now. That just as he provided back then, you can also testify to the fact that he's providing for you right now. And I believe many of us in here, if I were to give you one of the microphones that we were using to sing through, to ask you to testify to God's faithfulness over your life, hey, just tell me what God did last year. That was yesterday. All right, cool. Tell me what God is doing today. And I'm pretty sure that you will be able to give me some great, colorful examples of God's faithfulness in your right now. But the good news is, just as he was faithful in your yesterday and in your right now, he'll be faithful in your tomorrow. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to help us understand, that God is faithful. Jesus does not change. Seasons change. And my God, this morning is a great example of that. This weekend is an awesome example of that. 1 minute, it's hot. The next minute, it's cold. This morning, it was like 25 degrees when I woke up. Like, Jesus, come back, please. It's cold out here. But in the midst of the seasons that change, Jesus does not change. Your friends may change up on you. Your body may change up on you. Your bank account may change up on you. But Jesus does not change. And the writer of Hebrews wants us to anchor our faith in that truth. And I think it's so appropriate because of where we are right now as a country and all the things that we're experiencing right now. I've seen plenty of people and plenty of political pundits commenting on the election and all these things and conversations that people have been having. And I've seen all the stuff that people are posting on social media. And what I see is a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, a lot of anger. I see a whole lot of things. And I honestly believe that perspective is not the perspective that God wants us to have. The perspective that God wants us to have is that, hey, number one, I've been here before. This ain't the first time that there's been a whole lot of unrest about something in human history. But I've been faithful every generation, every generation. One scripture says it like this, that your kingdom reigns from generation to generation, which means that God's style never goes out of style. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the question I want to ask you and I today is this: where is your faith, and who am I placing my faith in? Because if my faith and my trust are in things that are going to change, well, then I'm going to change with the changing of those things. But if I put my faith in the one who does not change, then I will be able to learn how to be, as Paul says in Philippians, to be abased and abound, to be consistent no matter what season I am in. I'll be able to say things like Job says, that though he slays me, yet will I trust him because I know that he is good. I'll be able to say what Paul says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together, all things. Notice Paul doesn't say good things. He says all things. All things, good, bad, and in between, work together. In other words, God is sovereignly working this thing out. Granted, you only see a piece of the puzzle. He sees the big picture. And that's why he can say, how about you just do what Aaron Rodgers said a few years ago? Just relax. Some of you guys don't even know who Aaron Rodgers is. Professional football player, Green Bay Packers. When they were kind of going through a rough season, everybody was like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Green Bay Packers are not going to make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers was just like, just relax. Let's take a deep breath. I think for some of us, man, we just need to take a deep breath after this week. Just take a deep breath. Matter of fact, let's do it right now. Inhale, exhale. Just breathe in and breathe out. Because you've been at work this week, and you've been in conversations this week, and you've been hearing all these different remarks from people. Everybody got an opinion. Everybody's an expert. You've been hearing all these things this week, and you've been swamped. I don't know if you're like me. It's been overwhelming. And we just need to kind of take a step back and say, God, show me what you want to do through me. Show me what your plan is. That's the perspective that we need to ultimately adopt. Jesus never changes. Verse 7, when you go back to verse 7, it talks about how we should imitate those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. What the writer of Hebrews was trying to help the believers in this church to understand is that, hey guys, just as those who came before you put their faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, just as they put their faith on the Yahweh God all throughout the Old Testament, God is still the same. We want you to imitate their faith, that though they were facing uncertain times, their faith did not waver. Their faith was in Jesus. He says, imitate their faith. Imitate their trust in Jesus. In other words, it's this, that Jesus and his finished work is the foundation of the Christian faith. It's the foundation and should be the foundation of your life right now. Here's the reason why I can have so much confidence in the midst of what's happening right now. If Jesus could get on a cross, die for the sins of humanity, and then resurrect on the third day after being dead, surely he can handle whatever situation I'm facing right now. Surely it's not that big of a deal in contrast to what he's done on the cross. Now, I'm not saying it's not important, but what I'm saying is Jesus defeated sin, death, the grave, and evil. Surely he can handle what I'm going through right now. That's what it's about. That's what the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand, that Jesus is our all-consistent Savior in an inconsistent world. So with that being said, I want to give us three things that don't change about Jesus. There's a plethora of things. We will be here all day. But I'm going to give you three things that you see constantly in Scripture that don't change about Jesus. Nothing changes about Jesus, but these three truths I think are earth-shattering. Number one, Jesus, he's the same, he's consistent, which also means this, that his authority has not changed. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he is King of Kings, as Scripture says, and we believe that to be true, then it also means that his authority, y'all, has not changed. Here's what Colossians 1 says. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, speaking of his resurrection. That's what it means there. For in him all things were created. In Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Here's where it gets good. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Let me give you the Pastor Edwin vernacular. It means this, that Jesus is the only king that really matters at the end of the day. Amen. That all these other kings and prophets or kings and pundits and politicians and leaders, they take their cues from him. In other words, there's nothing that Congress can pass that would ever throw off the will of God. There's nothing that Trump could say or do that would ever catch God for surprise. Oh gosh, I didn't know. You were serious about building a wall. God is like, you know, I was faithful to my church during one of the most bloodiest times in human history under this guy by the name of Nero, where he was destroying Christians. And I'm not just talking about like in a very sensitive or a very generic sense. I'm talking destroying Christians. He would feed Christians to animals for sport. And I was faithful then. I can be faithful now. I can tell that's one of those messages that makes us a little uncomfortable. Because you're saying, but I hear you, Pastor. But man, we just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know what our world is going to look like 3 months from now. Here's secondly, what doesn't change. Not only does his authority not change, his mission has not changed. His mission has not changed. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 says, to give you some context to what I'm getting ready to say. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. That's where so many of us have been. Maybe some of us are there right now. You are living and walking through this world with no hope right now. But here's the good news. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, the good news is that today you can be. He says, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. You want to talk about racial tension? The racial tension that we've seen in this country over the past 200-300 years was nothing compared to the racial tension that existed in the first century between Jew and Gentile. And yet Jesus, as we see here, was able to unite them. How? He united Jews and Gentiles into one people in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law, which is commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. What's that? That's called the church, the family of God, the people of God. And then together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace. In other words, he brought the gospel. That's what good news is. It's the gospel. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. What does this mean? That the only one who can bring healing and unity in this world is Jesus. The only one who can bring true transformation in this world, and especially in this country, is Jesus. You know, one of the interesting things that I've seen happening this week in the light of the elections, I've seen so many people talk about ever since, you know, Trump got in office, well, we need to pray for Trump. Very true. I've seen a whole lot of people who were not fans of Trump get in office. Well, we need to pray. Very true. You know the common denominator that I've seen in all these things? We need to pray. Yeah. Maybe that's what God was trying to get us to do from the very beginning. To seek him. To seek him. Because what happens when we seek him is we understand what he's already accomplished through the blood of his son, Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross for the sins of humanity. Jesus creates a new people who are no longer defined by their ethnicity, who are no longer defined by their age, who are no longer defined by their economic makeup, no longer defined by middle class, upper class, lower class, rich, poor, in between, whatever. They are no longer defined by that. They are defined by the blood of Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus has accomplished. So the unity that this world is saying we need to cultivate, Jesus is saying, I did that 2,000 years ago through my blood. All you got to do is believe it and receive it. I say it like this. The unity that this world longs to see has already been accomplished through the blood of Jesus. And therefore, he calls his church, the body of Christ, the totality of the body of Christ, and then the local church to visibly provide an example of what reconciliation looks like, which means that the church can't be a church just for one group of people. The church is not called to be black church, white church, Asian church, Latino church, Doesn't matter. It's not to be a church for older people or younger people. That is not the body of Christ. That was never what the local church looked like in Scripture. All throughout the early portions of Scripture in the first century, you saw churches that were filled old people, young people, middle people, tall people, short people, skinny people, wide people, all types of people. That's what you saw. Across ethnicities, across ages. It didn't matter because we were all one in Christ Jesus. Maybe all the stuff that we're seeing right now in this country is a call that God has given so that way the church can be who she was originally called to be. Which is why in our church, man, we don't define ourselves as no black church, as no white church. We call ourselves the church, a church for all people. That's what we're called to be. That's what's called the Bridge Church. Reconciled to God vertically, reconciled to one another horizontally. We would never be a church that is for just one group of people. No, because you know the common denominator that every person in this world, past, present, and future, have had in common? Sin. Sin don't have no color, y'all. Ain't no such thing as old sin and new sin, young sin. Sin is sin. And Jesus says, just like the black person sins, just like the white person sins, just like the older person sins, just like the younger person sins, it is all sin. Yes. And I'm the only one who can bridge the gap. And I've already done that on the cross through my life, death, burial, and resurrection. And those who receive what I've done now begin to become a part of this awesome mosaic, this awesome family of God called the church. And so he calls us as the local church to exhibit and to exemplify and to live out what he's already done. Policies and laws and standards, they change, but the mission Jesus has given his people has not. What's the mission? It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It says it like this. We got the scripture on the screen. Then Jesus came to the disciples and said, all authority, check that word out, all authority. Remember I said earlier his authority hasn't changed? He says, all authority. I have all authority. It's been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. In the original language, that word is ethnos, which means diverse people groups, all nations. I think for so long, local churches have been so good at reaching a certain group of people, but I don't know if you understand this or not, that perpetuates the cycle of racism. Because how can I say I'm a church for all people when these people come to my church and only see one type of people? That is counterintuitive to what the gospel is. Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, of all ethnic groups. We are called to take the gospel to all people. It's for all ethnicities, all ages, all economic makers. We don't pick and choose who the gospel is for. We demonstrate the love of Christ to all people. And so the church, the family of God, the people who are followers of Christ are called to be ambassadors and to take this message of reconciliation to all people. So on your job this week, you are not called to be a divisive person. You are called to be an agent of change, somebody who reconciles, somebody who brings unity. What a shame and what a crime if we are called the people of God, but we're known to be the most divisive people in our neighborhoods, the most divisive people on our jobs. Jesus says, I didn't come to divide. I came to unite all around my blood. That's what we're called to exemplify. That's what we're called to model. That's the Great Commission, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. So many of us in here are trying to figure out, what's God's will for my life? I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Here's what it is. Go make disciples. That's God's call for your life. Now, I understand that kind of looks differently practically from person to person and from place to place. I understand that. But at the end of the day, it comes back to the same exact thing. You are called to go make a disciple. So if you are on your job and you ain't led nobody to Christ, you're probably putting your light under a basket right now. God says, let your light shine so that people would see me. And I don't know about y'all, man, this is a great time to start letting our light shine, because this world right now is broken. This world is hopeless. This world is looking for hope. It's looking for change. And it's not going to come because of somebody who's in the White House. It's going to come because of the one who's on the throne, King of Kings. That's where it's going to come. And the people who know the King, the people who are part of his kingdom, you and I, as followers of Christ, we're called to take this good news to people. So for those of us in here who are absolutely discouraged about Trump being in office, let me encourage you with this. Stop focusing on what Trump says he's going to do or what he's not going to do, and start focusing on what Jesus has called you to do, which is to make a disciple, to go change your neighborhood. Go change your community. That's what he's called us to do. By all means, I'm not saying we live in a shell and we're oblivious to the things that are happening, but man, God has called us not to be led by fear, but to be led by his spirit. And if you did vote for Trump, Remember, your faith and trust is not to be in him. It is to be in Jesus, the King of Kings. And if you didn't vote for either, it doesn't matter. Jesus' mission has not changed, man. Because you still got people in your neighborhood who don't know him and are on their way to hell. You still got people in your neighborhood who are still strung out on dope. You still got people on their job who are contemplating slitting their wrists and committing suicide. You still got people around you who are broken and hopeless. It doesn't matter what's changed. The only thing that matters is what hasn't changed. And what hasn't changed is Jesus and his authority and his mission, which is to go make a difference. That's what he's called us to do. His mission hasn't changed. And most of all, and I'll end with this point, his love has not changed. His authority hasn't changed. His mission hasn't changed. But most importantly, his love has not changed. Here's what Psalm 136 verses 1 through 3 says. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. But preacher, I'm not in a good situation. It don't matter. God is still good. But man, my relationships are not good, man. But God is still good. His love endures forever. Notice again. Give thanks to the God of gods, equivalent to King of Kings. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Why? Because his love endures forever. This psalm is a declaration of the love of God, the love of Christ that does not change like shifting shadows. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means this: God loves you just as much as who you were yesterday as he does right now. It doesn't matter what you did last year. It doesn't matter if you murdered somebody. It doesn't matter if you lied to somebody. His love for you has not changed. His love is the same. And many of us need to know that, because right now you are in a point in time in your life where you feel as if you don't know what love is. Maybe you have never even truly experienced love, because the people who said that they loved you, they changed so much on you. One minute they say they loved you, the next minute they stabbed you in the back. One minute they said they loved you, the next minute they turned their back on you. But Jesus says, my love for you will never change. It endures forever. Romans 5 and 8, God proves his love for us. It says it like this: God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Now, I don't know about you. My love for a person before knowing Jesus would have been, I'll die for you if you're perfect. If you do something good for me. Oh, you lie to me? Please. You on your own. I ain't gonna take a bullet for you. Step in front of a car for you. Please. No. No. But Jesus says, I know all about your mess. I know the you that don't nobody know about yet. The you that you try to cover up so much. That you got nice and decorated on Sunday. But you really a trip Monday through Saturday. You put on a good front on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, you trifling. Yeah. He says, I died for that you. Now, I don't know about y'all. That is real love. Because real love is not about who you pretend to be and me loving you. Real love is me loving you for who you really are. And Jesus says, my love for you has not changed. My love for this world has not changed. I don't know if you know this or not. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life, which also means this, that God loves Donald Trump. God loves Hillary Clinton. God loves the person on your job that you can't stand. God loves that tyrant of a boss that you have right now. God loves the spouse that you're thinking about divorcing right now. God loves all people. And he proved it by sending us his son, Jesus. And so in the midst of a whole lot of things changing, matter of fact, I didn't even give you guys my sermon title. My sermon title was this: what matters the most has remained the same. And the thing that matters the most is not what's happening in your life right now. It's not who's in office right now. It's not what you're going to be up against tomorrow. Those things are important. But the thing that matters the most is Jesus himself. And he has not changed. His authority has not changed. His love has not changed. His mission has not changed. And the question that you and I have to wrestle with today is, what will our response be to the fact that his love, his authority, his mission, he himself has not changed? Here's what Psalm 146 says. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. But blessed are those whose hope and help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Blessed are those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. And so maybe you're here this morning and you've just been a wreck this week because you've just found yourself just on an emotional roller coaster. And maybe you've realized that, you know what, maybe I put too much stock in people. Maybe I put too much stock in my resources. And maybe today God is calling me to come back to the place where I put all of the chips in him, where I bet my life on him. Because here's what happens. Scripture says it like this, that any person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus will never be put to shame. You will never be put to shame. Matter of fact, if you don't believe me, I'll read a scripture, Romans 10 and 9, and Ben, you guys can come on up. It says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that promise, y'all, has not changed. So here's my challenge to us. That your faith and your trust would not be in the things of this world. That you won't trust in your money. You won't trust what's in your retirement, your social security. You won't put your trust in your spouse. You won't put your trust in the things of this world. No, you will put your trust in the one who reigns over this world. Because what matters the most has remained the same. And the one who has remained the same, his name is Jesus. So I want to encourage you today that if you came in here today, just a melting pot of so many emotions. I don't know where you stand on things. I don't know how you voted this week. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is where you put your faith and trust. And I can promise you this, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he will see you through every mountain. He will see you through every valley. He will see you through every low moment, every discouraging moment, every moment where you feel like quitting, every moment where you feel like throwing in the towel. He will see you through it. And you can take that to the bank. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, I want to ask you, where's your faith? Where have you put your trust? Have you put your trust maybe in things that change all the time? Things that are moving? Because the reality is this. Jesus does not change. He's remained the same. And I want to encourage you with this awesome truth that he was faithful to you in your yesterday. He is faithful to you in your today. He will be faithful to you in your tomorrow. I can promise you that. I'm a living witness of that. It doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way. It does not mean that everything is going to be perfect. It won't. Jesus says, in this life, in this world, you will have many troubles. But take joy because I've overcome the world. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I need to get back on track with God, man. I've placed my faith in other things. And I can tell I placed my faith in other things because when those things didn't go my way, I just flipped. I just lost it. I got all caught up. But today I want to repent of that. Man, and I want to get back into the path that God has me to be on. I want to get realigned with the plans of God for my life. I want to put my faith and confidence back in Jesus. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, if that's your heart's desire, you're saying, I just want to get back on track with him. I need to recalibrate my faith. If you could be honest, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you just for a moment. If that's you, just lift up your hand just for a moment. If that's you. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. If that's you. Just lift up your hand. It says, I need to get it back in order. I put my trust in the wrong things. That's you. Father, for every hand that's lifted, every hand that was lifted, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to recalibrate our faith. That our faith would not be in changing things. It would not be in resources. It would not be in people. But rather, it would be in you, the unchanging one. The one who is immutable. You don't move. You don't change. So, Father, today, we declare and decree that our faith is in you totally. We trust in your authority. We trust in the mission that you've given us to reach people. We trust in your love that you have for us, that you've also expressed to us by giving us your life, Jesus. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's not about coming to church. It's not about whether or not you know a whole lot of scripture. It's about a relationship. It's not about you being perfect. It's about you placing your faith and your confidence in him. It's about you believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and resurrected from the grave on the third day. So if this is your heart's desire and you're saying, I want to believe this. I don't want to be filled with anxiety anymore. I don't want to be led by my emotions anymore. I don't want to be led by fear anymore. No, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. If that's your heart's desire, I'm going to ask you to do something bold right now. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. Just you and God. But if you're saying, I'm ready, I want to put my faith in Jesus. He's constantly been working on my heart. I didn't come here today by accident. I came here on purpose, and I know God is working it out, and he's calling me into a relationship with him. If that's your desire today, you want to put your faith in Christ. You want to be in a relationship with him. You want to be a part of the family of God. I want you to do something very bold and honest. I want you to raise your hand really quick. Nobody's looking. Just want to pray for you just for a moment. I want to lead you in a moment of prayer. If that's you, just lift up your hand, wherever you are. You want to give your life to Christ this morning. Saying, Jesus, I give you my life. Amen. If you're making a decision today to give your life to Christ, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life in you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. I believe that you are my Lord. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done. Put your hands together for the fact that he's the King of Kings, that he does not change. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision to give Christ your life this morning, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, here's what I want us all to do. If we could just all do this for the sake of those who made a decision, pull out that worship guide that we gave you when you walked in. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. Because what we're going to do is we're going to send you some next steps as to how you can grow in your relationship with God. We want to see you grow. We want to see you become who God has called you to be. Church, can we make some noise for those who made a decision to give Christ their life this morning? Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on. Amen. Amen. And as we prepare to go, whatever it is that's on your heart, we've actually provided a space on the back of that connection card.